Our second scripture lesson comes from the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel. We'll be reading verses 1 through 12, describing that first Easter morning. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I hope you enjoyed that selection that the choir just sang. And there's a tremendous message there. We are resurrection people. We gather this morning to celebrate the new life in Christ. You know, that story that I told the children a few minutes ago about my hometown getting so excited about one victory reminds me of how every community has a team that they call their own. Often it's the high school, sometimes it's the college. And when that team wins, it's a victory for everybody. There's celebration anywhere and everywhere in the community. Now, I know there's got to be several basketball fans here. You were probably glued to your television sets during the Final Four of the NCAA tournament. And I would imagine that many of you were pulling for UNC, right? I mean, they beat Duke, by the way. Duke was ranked way up there. But the UNCAA beat them by 4 points. Now, at the same time, Kansas was playing Villanova, and Kansas dominated Villanova. And of course, when UNC came to face Kansas, Kansas took the championship, but just by 3 points. We know it takes a lot of hard work and preparation for a team to play at the highest level of college basketball. Well, what I find very difficult in the game of basketball is that the game is very often decided by whoever has their hands on the ball in the final seconds of play. The championship, the fruit of years of hard work, is often decided by one player making a final desperate shot at the basket at the very last second. And of course, that's why it makes good television and good something that we enjoy sitting there watching, because you're at the edge of your seat. Is he going to make that last shot? And of course, a lot rides on that last desperation shot. Careers are affected. The college's endowments are affected. The coach's job is often on the line. Millions of dollars are at stake. But only one team walks away with a championship. Only one school, one community can claim that title of NCAA champions. But that's not so in the victory that we celebrate today. Each and every one of us, the whole world, as a matter of fact, can claim the victory we celebrate this morning. It's the greatest victory of all time. The victory of Jesus Christ over sin and over death. And by faith, it is our victory. By faith, we receive. What is it that John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That everlasting life comes from where? It comes from the resurrection. The same love that raised Christ from the dead will raise us. How much is that worth? A lot more than a few million dollars. Millions of souls will never taste death because Christ lives. Our team won. And I thank God that God did not leave the victory over sin and death to a last-second desperation shot. Though it certainly seems that way when you read the scripture lessons sometimes. All of the participants in the story from Luke's gospel had brought together a situation that it seemed that our team had lost decisively. It seemed that evil had won. You ever feel that way in your personal life? Maybe when a dear loved one dies, or an unexpected death in a community or in a family, it can make you wonder, has evil triumphed? When you see the death and destruction going on in Ukraine and all the pictures and the children and others who are so very terribly affected, you wonder, is evil winning? But the angel came to Mary and the others and reminded them that Jesus had told them he would be crucified. He also told them he would be raised on the third day. The apostles had a hard time believing. Peter ran to the tomb, not to seek the living Jesus, but to prove that these women were just a little crazy. He had accepted defeat. Remember, he and the disciples are hiding out now. They could be next. The crowds could be coming for them, saying, crucify them, crucify them. It seemed to everyone that evil had triumphed over good, that God's plan of salvation had been stopped dead in a borrowed grave. The devil and the forces of evil were dancing their victory dance. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the temple officials were feeling rather smug. They'd gotten rid of a thorn in their side. Pilate and the Romans were so glad to wash their hands of the whole affair and have it over with. But God was not finished. It was not over yet. Jesus was dead and gone, laid in the grave, never to be heard from again, according to the Romans. But God was not finished. Christ was to be the first fruits of the grave. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead after 3 days in the grave. And just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the great fish, he emerged to save the whole nation by preaching in Nineveh. Just so the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to save the whole world from death and open the gateway of life eternal for each and every one of us who will place our faith in him. As Paul said to the Corinthian church, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Christ the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. What is this idea of first fruits? What fruit could come from a graveyard? Do you remember the principle of first fruits from the Old Testament? The people of God in the Old Testament were instructed at the time of harvest to take the first tenth of their crop and bring it into God's storehouse as their tithe. Year after year, the first tenth, the 10% of the first grain, the best of the livestock, the lambs were brought. Produce was to come to God at the temple. Now Jesus says, or Paul says, that Jesus is the first tenth of the graves that would give up their occupants. He represents the tithe and also the promise that all graves are going to be opened. Since Christ's resurrection, God has been gathering in the remainder of that glorious harvest. And folks, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are included in that number. The victory of Jesus Christ is for us. We will sing and dance the victory songs on the day when Jesus will come and call us home for eternity. Those gardens of stone, like that hillside where Maine and Hamilton meet. Can you imagine in your mind's eye driving up to that light and seeing all of those gravestones rolled over, it looking like a plowed field, because God raised his people just as he promised. That day is coming. That day is coming when that will be a plowed field. Graves will give up their fruits and the dead will rise with new bodies. And all who belong to Jesus Christ will go home to live with him forever. It's a day for celebration. A day to tell the world that there is new life in Jesus Christ. A day to celebrate his victory. To him be the glory. Now join me in a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the great victory that we celebrate. But help us celebrate it every day. Every day of our lives, as the world seeks to tell us that we're wrong, that we serve a fake God, that the whole story is nothing but a myth. Help us to remember that he was raised, that he lives even now and sits at your right hand. Help us to remember that he loves us beyond measure and suffered terribly for our salvation. We ask all this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.